It's the Summer Drive Time Podcast with Bran and...
Do I say my name
now? Yeah.
It's Grayson.
Hi, Grayson. It's so nice to see you and hear... Everybody else is just hearing your voice, but it's still nice.
It's good to be here.
Now, Jason couldn't join us today, but he did have a message for you, which was you really got to step up the pep.
Me?
Yeah, with him being out this week... He said we need a lot of energy, so Grayson.
So I got to try to be like Jason.
Yeah, give us your best Jason.
All right. Everyone, someone exists to give every man, woman, and child the repeat opportunity to respond to the gospel without coming or going anywhere.
It just sounded like you, but just like not good. It sounded like a worse.
Yeah, I'm going to beat me.
Okay, you beat me.
Tell Jason. You tell Jason that if he wants me to be him, then he just needs to be here.
That's a fair point. Does it make you a little bit sad that your first episode of Summit Drive Time is with just me?
No, because this is very different because we do another thing together, and this isn't that important to not be that.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna need to be serious and make sure that I say only things that are important.
Well, okay. Me and Grayson have an NBA podcast together. We're not gonna promote it, but that's what he's talking. It sounded really weird what you were saying.
That's true.
So let's restart.
Let's restart,
Grayson.
This is talking about Summit Church.
Yes.
What we're passionate about.
That's right.
Letting people know. What's the topic today?
The topic today, and the reason why I brought you in here, Grayson, is to talk about worship.
Well, that I can talk about that.
Okay, because you are the worship pastor here at Summit Church.
I am.
And some people might have questions about what goes into a service, what goes into picking songs. What makes a good song versus what makes a not good song. And so we're going to talk a little bit about all that type of stuff. But Grayson, tell everybody that might, most people probably don't know your history and how you ended up being the worship pastor at Summit Church. So how about you give people real quick a rundown of your life?
Yeah,
a snapshot, if you will.
I definitely developed, I've been around worship and ministry and church and things. That had to do with music and different avenues of worship because my dad, for many years, led worship, and he still directs music teams that lead worship for camps and different churches from the school that I grew up at Cedarville University. So I actually met Kyle and Jason when I was a kid. Jason's best friend, Matt Rexford, who is also a worship pastor in town over at Fellowship Greenville, they came to Cedarville together, and Matt was on the touring teams that my dad directed. So when I was a kid, I knew who they were. I kind of hung around a lot with the teams. I loved music as a kid, so I loved listening to them sing and play. And Jason was around a lot. He was kind of, I don't know if you would say he was an honorary member, but he was involved in a lot of stuff. He was the chaplain. And so I would go up and watch him speak and Matt lead worship. And then I also met Kyle, who was a counselor at the camp that I grew up at, Cider Hills. And so when I was a camper there, Kyle was a freshman in college, so he was just getting started, and he was a counselor, and I interacted with him there, and then Kyle actually joined the teams. Many people may not know that Kyle is a really good singer. So Kyle was on those touring teams.
There are clips out there if you look hard enough.
So Kyle was on the touring teams, and I interacted with him. Fast forward, I'm in college now. I'm on those teams now, traveling around, and Kyle was the speaker at Scioto Hills, so it kind of came full circle. So I was leading worship. Kyle had just moved down to Greenville. Summit had just started less than a year ago, and he just kind of planted a seed in my mind, just, hey, man, I know you're not really sure what's going on yet after you graduate, but keep us in mind. We have a lot of different opportunities, and he said we're definitely not going to be able to bring you on full time right away, but I'm sure we could get you plugged in, and we'd love to have you around. So I did that. Me and Jacqueline, my wife, got married. We went to Spain for a semester to finish up our schooling.
Dream come true.
So that was really fun. And then December 2012, we moved down to Greenville, and that was about 6 months after you actually came.
That's true.
And Cam Hill, who is our campus pastor at Cherrydale.
They really hit the jackpot at that
period. So the three of us kind of came within the same year. And also Rob Mangum, who's our student director at Cherrydale. So all of us and our wives would get at, every Monday night we'd meet with the E-Steps. And that was a really influential time, I think, for all of us. And we all kind of at different times contemplated leaving or what we were going to do. Are we going to be in Greenville full time? Are we going to really commit to Summit? Maybe me more so than the rest of you, as I really did think I was supposed to be in full-time ministry. I knew that I wanted to do something with worship. But doors would open, we'd pursue them, and every time they closed, and we just kept staying here. So I came on part-time as just doing lead and worship at Summit Malden, much like all of our other campuses currently have part-time worship directors that have other jobs. So I've worked a number of different jobs in Greenville. And then just as we planted more and more campuses, we then had the need for someone to actually be full-time. So they brought me on, and now I kind of have an opportunity to oversee all of the campuses, but also lead primarily at one each week. So I don't know if that's what you were looking for.
Sure, that's great. So you obviously do worship, and you've been around worship and leading worship for a long time. What is it? Why worship? What was it about leading worship that excited you as a young kid and being around worship? Why did you want to kind of follow in your dad's footsteps, so to speak, and kind of get into that world?
Yeah, so for me, it might be a little different than for other guys that are worship leaders, in that I'm not a huge music guy. I like music. I enjoy music. Guys will make jokes that I'm always singing or humming, but I'm not always listening to music, and I've never been like a go to tons of concerts and follow one artist and just listen to a record in its entirety. So for me, I really latched on to worship leading, and that for as a kid, I really was how I connected with God. I connected with the truth through the words, and I had a lot of different moments where it was through a song and the way that a song can communicate that I was able to latch onto and understand something differently.
Mm-hmm.
So from a young age, I began to really appreciate that side of it, of what it can teach us, and the cerebral kind of part of music. And so as a worship leader, I feel like music does speak to people, and it does move people. So when you partner the power of music and even the emotional side of music and what it can do with truth from God's word, it can be a super powerful element. And then as I've been leading here, it just grows. It's even grown even more, my appreciation of it, because there's such a communal aspect of music. So we have music and we worship through music, even in our personal lives. But we also, it's something powerful when you can all together sing something corporately that we're professing that we believe about God, and we're teaching to one another. And I just think it's a really powerful element of a Sunday morning worship gathering. So I'm still growing and learning and exactly what that means, all the different avenues that you can use a Sunday morning worship time. It's not obviously just music. We like to incorporate scripture and prayer and even some readings from time to time. There's so many different parts and creative elements of a service that we can tap into.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So one of the fun things about leading worship is that you get a lot of people who will send you some songs. Like, I heard a song on the radio, I think it'd be really great. Occasionally there will be a new song that will really take off. And one of the things that you do with your job is to kind of filter through all of these songs that are coming in. There's so many songs. There's so many different bands, so many different songs. Bands like Hillsong and Bethel that are putting out 10 to 12 song albums like every year with all these songs. So what does it look like for you and the other guys that lead worship at the other campuses, the part-time guys, to kind of filter through those songs? What is the checklist, so to speak, of what goes into hearing a song and saying that's a song that I want to bring to the congregation on a Sunday?
Yeah, so something it's kind of been actually a switch within the last year. Actually, me and you, we had a lot of conversations going into the new series is about writing more and bringing in more songs that are actually better tethered to the current series that we're in. One step in doing that was that we began putting the scripture that the songs are taken from beneath the lyric slides as another way to make sure that we're actually getting these songs from scripture. So that's the first thing, is that we make sure the song is theologically accurate. Does it say something, and does what it say actually line up with what we believe to be true from God's word? And then the second part is what I said, is that does it actually go along with the theme of what we're kind of trying to push home in this current series? So we started in Colossians, and then we went, actually kind of started in Matthew, the end of Matthew, and then we went through Colossians, and then through the summer, or through the Advent series, we went into the Peter series that we've been in. And so do these new songs that people are sending me, do they actually go with the theme of kind of what we're going for, if that makes sense? And so for instance, I just went and did a camp with my dad in Ohio. And there was a new song by House Fires, Build My Life, and I really liked it. It connected with me. I thought it was, what it was saying even kind of made sense with what our lingo, like kind of how we describe things, and that we want to stand upon the foundation of God's word. And then we're doing the series right now, Walking in Wisdom. So that was a perfect example of a song that I learned. I really liked it, but it actually really lines up with what we're talking about. So we've done it 3 weeks in a row here at Summit Malden. Mm-hmm. We're talking about walking in wisdom. We're talking about pursuing Christ and delighting in the law. And then here's a song that talks about building our foundation upon that law and delighting in it. So it's sometimes a song fits perfectly like that. Whereas you have another song that, Seasons, for example, is a song that you liked a long time ago. And it was kind of had Christmas words to it. It talked about winter and that kind of stuff. But it didn't really make sense at the time in like a Colossians series. But we ended up bringing it back recently because it really tied in really well with the sermon. We were talking about being patient and waiting upon God and His intentionality with His timing. So all the songs that come in, we have to make sure that they actually... We don't want to force it, if that makes sense, because I think a lot of songs that are out there, it's hard to know how people are going to receive them, but if it's a more vague concept or if it's a concept that's not necessarily easy to latch onto and you have to explain it, mm-hmm. if it doesn't go with what you're doing, then you're wasting your time, if that makes sense.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is really fun is writing songs that come almost straight out of scripture and trying to figure out how does that go with music? How does it go? Like one of the things that music is in and of itself, there's emotion in it. There's
for sure.
It can stir up a feeling in your heart. But also we want that stirring of feelings to also flow out of scripture. Like that to be what our hearts and our minds are, yep. are focusing on, not just an emotional reaction to music, which can happen with any song, not just worship songs. So to that point, what does it look like to write music? What does it look like to open up God's word and pick up a guitar and try to write a song?
So writing music for yourself is very different even than writing music hopefully for a corporate setting. All through junior high, high school, I used to write songs, and they'd be super hard to understand. They were very, very personal. I used words that were confusing, and then I would go take them and try to lead them, and people wouldn't understand, and they wouldn't latch on. But to write for a corporate setting, I think you need to be really intentional. What is the main focus of this song? What is the point? What do I want people, as they're singing this, to know about God, to know about who they are because of Christ? And so I think that's where writing from scripture is good, because obviously the scripture was inspired. And so if you're singing scripture, you don't have to worry about whether it's theologically accurate or not. But then when we add in our own takes, or we add in maybe an emphasis, a lot of times people will write scripture, 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 and then a bridge, they'll kind of make it personal or make the takeaway from that scripture. So we just have to be really careful that we're staying true to the word, but also I think simplicity is really good. We want that to be concrete ideas that people can latch onto, that they understand. And there is a time and a place, we call them kind of sit-down songs, where you can do a song like a Seasons, or maybe like one of the ones that I've written historically that are more hard to understand, but you can explain them and you can ask people to think about as they're listening. And then there's a song like An Amazing Grace or I Need Thee Every Hour, or I'm picking older songs, but or a Jesus We Love You, a song that isn't hard to understand, that you can sing it, you can know exactly what you're saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So I think you have to know what your purpose of what you're writing for. And then there's upbeat, there's contemplative, there's joyful, there's me-centric songs where we're trying to focus on who we are because of Jesus. And then there's songs that are all about who Jesus is. And there's a lot of argument and debate about, should we ever sing songs that are focused on us, or should we only sing songs focused on God? And or do we sing songs with the words I and me, or do we sing songs with the corporate, with me or us and we and together? So we try to have a balance, and I think where you're going to have it in the service, what type of mood you want to set, I think you do need to have a variety, and we've worked a lot about that because I'm more of a melancholy guy in the way that I lead naturally, so I have to really fight to bring in energy and joy, and we've had a lot of conversations over the years, just everyone's not contemplating their sin, and everyone's not always coming in on a Sunday morning wanting to just focus on their need for grace and their need for mercy and how much they're dependent upon God. Sometimes people are doing really well and they want to come in and celebrate who God is and they want to be joyful. So you can't have all one way or all the other. So as you write a song, you have to think about, I'm writing this for the whole entire body. So I'm writing this for people that are more melancholy. I'm writing this for people that are more extroverted and excited, and they want to just focus on the good things. So writing for a corporate body is definitely challenging, but I think going to scripture, like you said, is a good way to start because it stands.
Yeah. So one of the things that I thought might be cool to end the episode is to actually go through our song from 2 Peter. Okay. And so we'll play it at the end. But I'd like for you to kind of talk about that song and kind of where it came from, how it flowed, because one of the things that happens in that song is there's waiting and there's trusting and there's moving and there's growing, and kind of the thought process behind the intentional verbiage there, and then we'll play it.
Yeah. So the 2 Peter song, the whole kind of emphasis of that chapter was that there's all of these false doctrines out there. There's these false teachers. There's all this noise, and it's hard to decipher what is true, what is not true. And kind of our emphasis was that the way that you know what isn't true is to focus on what is. So the way to know it's true is to go to God's word and to pursue him. So the chorus is, Jesus, we want to know you. Thank you for giving us a way through your word that shows us who you are and what you have to say. So the whole idea of us pursuing Jesus through God's word, that which he's given us as a way to know them, is our ultimate goal. So practically, what does that look like? So that's where the verses come in. So if our ultimate goal is to pursue Jesus and to trust and to pursue truth through him and his word, well, we're going to wait on him and we're going to be patient because we know that he's coming back for us. That's in his word. We're going to trust because we know that his word is truth. In all of these false doctrines out there, they're untrustworthy, but he's true. So that's, we're going to trust in him. And then practically, we're going to move. We're going to move because we know that he's chosen to use us. And because he's chosen to use us, we're not just going to sit still and wait in a way that is like someone that just shuts themselves off from the world. We want to be active and we want to move because he has a plan and he has a purpose for us here. And then finally, we're going to grow. And we're going to grow knowing that he's the one that's making us new. So it's kind of like four action steps that were all taken from 2 Peter. All of these things were in there with the main focus of the chorus of, in all of this, we want to pursue you through your word. And then the bridge is kind of like the call to worship. Like, we're singing this together so that we remember what you've done. What did you do? You took our sins and you cleansed us. You made for us an entrance into your home. So it's kind of like a gratitude. Mm-hmm. So because of all these things, because we can know you through your word, because we can trust you, because we know that you're coming, because we know that you're growing us and you're chosen us so we can act, we're going to celebrate together. And so the bridge is kind of like a celebration. And then the final is that we rest because we know that our hope in you is sure, which was the theme of our series.
Totally. Let's give it a whirl, huh?
All right.
We wait as those who know that you are coming back for us. You're coming back for us. We trust as those who know. Trust as those who know that the word you gave is truth. The word you gave is truth. Jesus, we want to know you. Thank you for giving us a way through your word that shows us who you are and what you have to say. We move as those who know. We move as those who know that you have chosen to use us. Chosen to use us. We grow as those who know. We grow as those who know that you're making all things new. You will make us new. Jesus, we want to know you. Thank you for giving us a way through your word that shows us who you are and what you have to say. Song together, a song so we remember what you have done, what you have done for us. You took our sin and cleansed us. You made an entrance into your home. We sing the song together, a song so we remember what you have done, what you have done for us. You took our sin and cleansed us. You made an entrance into your home. Jesus, we want to know you. Thank you for giving us a way through your word that shows us who you are and what you have to say. We rest as those who know, rest as those who know that hope in you is sure, hope in you is sure.